Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 1st of November, 2021. I hope everyone has survived October and sufficiently recovered from Halloween. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. I'm still kind of high on chocolate and I'm far too old to go trick-or-treating.
I am as well. I am as well, but I bought a whole bunch and had two trick-or-treaters. So, something's got to happen to all that candy.
I mean, call that winning.
Hashtag doing it right. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
I tried to give the product out and no one wanted it.
I'm just going to leave that there. We're going to move along.
No trick-or-treaters. I'm good. Good to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
All right. Something you can give out that I am interested in this case, Brian, is your opinion.
Oh, you're such a pro.
Is your opinion on the earnings call? Last week, Apple, I do my best. Apple announced, Apple had their quarterly earnings call. We got some numbers. There were people at the end that asked some sorts of questions. And this happens all the time, but somehow, like, this one didn't necessarily get a lot of attention ahead of time. And so after the fact, Brian, what can you tell us about it?
Well, Apple made a ton of money.
As is tradition. Yes.
As is tradition, yep. And they made one penny per share more than Wall Street was expecting. They brought in just a little bit less revenue than Wall Street was expecting. But that was in part because services, like lots of things set records, but iPhone sales were way below Wall Street expectations by many billions. And that was all mainly due to, according to Apple, to supply constraints. So Apple made it very clear that it could have made even more of all the money. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't necessarily get all of the parts to make all of more of all the money. And they expect that to also continue into next quarter. Now, Wall Street largely saw this report as a miss. And that tends to get Apple fans cranky, especially when it's a record September quarter and there was like so many other records. But the thing to understand, and I always end up explaining this, is that when Wall Street is deciding a company is worth X amount of money based on Y amount of profits and Z amount of revenue, and then a company does less than Y or Z, mm-hmm. Then even if Y and Z was still fantastic, they're going to take some of that value back. And if the company does more than Y or Z, they'll probably add more value onto the company. All, of course, depending upon the short-term outlook of what they're expecting next quarter, which is a big deal with Wall Street in the first place. And I, for those interested, I got into a pretty epic argument with my very good friend Ken Ray on his daily show that he does. You can listen to us. I think that was today's episode. So, anyway, there's that. And the reality is that Apple also basically says that, we basically expect most of this supply constraint to be able to capture most of those sales. Yeah, I'm sure we'll lose some, Apple said, and I think this was Tim Cook saying this, we'll probably lose some of those sales to, people not buying Apple stuff for gifts. But in reality, where else are they going to go? We'll probably capture those sales back eventually. So everything is fine with Apple. And the other thing to understand about Apple stock is that there was a run up in the stock in the weeks running leading to the earnings report. And Wall Street was slightly disappointed. And then they shaved a couple of dollars off, which still left the stock way higher than it was in, 2 weeks before the earnings report. And I think like right now, and I am, by the way, a very tiny, tiny Apple shareholder. Very tiny Apple shareholder. That's never affected anything I had to say. It is, I believe, down a dollar right now as of this writing, less than a dollar right now. So by and large, Apple, I mean, the Wall Street was mostly satisfied with what it got from Apple.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that is interesting.
It's kind of, honestly, it's not really, it's boring. It was a boring report. I mean, there were no huge revelations. You know, Apple just continues to make all the money.
I'll tell you the only reason why I disagree with you, and think there is some level of interest here, and it may be fleeting interest, is that this is the first real time, as I understand it, we're starting to see kind of chip shortages and supply shortages, which Apple has done pretty phenomenally well over the last, you know, however many months you want to attribute to that shortage. It's done a pretty good job of navigating that. There's been a few, you know, things have come out a few weeks later at different points, and there's been there have been factors, but this is the first time I think where we've seen some level of impact of all those supply chain factors on Apple. And I think that is a broadly interesting thing to keep an eye on.
But within the context of the broader world, it's, I mean, like, if there's a story there, it's like, oh my goodness, Apple's doing incredibly well in the middle of all these supply constraints.
Sure.
It's just, again, Wall Street pre-rewarded them for doing so well in the weeks leading up to the earnings report.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I understand it. It doesn't make any sense, but I understand what it is that you're talking about with that. So, yeah, I think going forward, well, mostly because I don't follow most other earnings calls from great big companies who might be up against the same thing. It sounds like this is sort of a common thing that we're, seeing the supply chain chip shortage stuff affecting things. And I think that's going to just continue, at least for the foreseeable future.
Ports and truck drivers and
exactly. And I think that's the interesting story, is do we have to sound the Apple death now? I think we're probably okay.
I think Apple's gonna be just fine.
I think we're probably all right.
It'll be close, but we're rooting for them, right? Okay. We have a little bit more news to report on this week, but first, I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is ZocDoc. ZocDoc allows you to compare doctors by rating and read reviews from actual patients. Just download the free ZocDoc app. It's the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for highly rated local doctors who take your insurance and book in-person or video appointments. Not just for primary care, you can find a dentist, a psychiatrist, or other specialists. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Now is the time to prioritize your health. Go to ZocDoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank ZocDoc for sponsoring the show today. Now, Charlotte, you have a Dropbox. I guess it's a situation. I think we can upgrade it to situation. That has sort of evolved over the last few days that I'm going to let you take us through.
Yeah, I guess it qualifies as a situation. It's definitely a thing. It's a thing that is real. So it's a thing that is real, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have written it. But yeah, it's an issue that people are contending with and navigating. And that is that as we speak, there is no native support from Dropbox for M1 on M1 devices. Obviously, you can access, as far as I understand it, Dropbox services and products on an M1 device, but it is not natively built for them. And some people have found that an issue for a myriad of reasons. And that was the first thing that was picked up on. I saw Matt Rumors reporting on, there was a support thread that had seemed to go on quite a while, kind of discussing this issue and users kind of wanting it and other users not really being that bothered, and whatever Dropbox's comment thread system, support thread system was, it all got a bit convoluted. Anyway, cut to Thursday, and I've written this story up today actually because it sort of happened I was doing other stuff and then it was the weekend and whatever. But anyway, Drew Houston, who is the CEO of Dropbox, has actually looked to kind of sort out the situation and bring some clarity. And he said that we're certainly supporting Apple Silicon. Sorry for the confusion. We've been working for a while on a native M1 build, which we aim to release in the first half of 2022. So
all right,
you should get native Dropbox support on your nice shiny M1 Mac of whatever stature in the not too distant future. I think there is a legitimate question to ask as to why it's taken the amount of time it has for such a popular service to get that support. I understand these things take complex engineering and, you know, don't just happen at a click of a button.
Sure.
But particularly for a service of the kind and scale of Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems a not insignificant time from when Apple Silicon first existed to it being... Right. Native support being available. Anyway,
not to mention there were developer machines that were available. So not long after the initial announcement at WWDC in 2020, when they said, here comes Apple Silicon, you were able to get a test Mac machine.
With Apple Silicon in it.
And M1s. M1s were officially released about this time last year-ish. Because I have one and it's almost a year old now. And that was the, and so like, even if it was, well, we want to make sure it's, you know, production hardware that people actually have their hands on, they could have had their hands on one for a year and it's still going to be longer, even than this, before it comes out.
Yeah.
Because first half, you know, they could have said Q1.
Yeah. No, it could be anything from, I think he probably doesn't want, you know, quite reasonably doesn't want to set expectations
sure
too high, but obviously H1 2022, which is what he tweeted, could mean anything from January the 1st to the end of June.
Right.
And he would, you know, they'd have kept their word. And I suspect that this is something, it sounds to me like this is something they're very actively working on and keen to get done. And I think lots of people will be pleased about that. But I was slightly surprised that it had taken so long. It did, as you put it before the show, Kelly, generate a bit of get the internet outrage machine going a bit.
Yes.
Particularly when before we had this clarification from Drew Houston. It's an interesting one, and it's obviously an issue that third parties of all kinds are having to contend with as Apple makes this transition.
Yeah. Everybody everyone sort of has to go through some sort of process like this. Are we going to release something universal? Are we going to release something, you know, are we going to maintain two releases, you know, so that we have one for Intel processors, one for M1 for M series machines? You know, how are we going to do that? How are the updates going to be managed? That sort of thing. If you have an M1 machine, you may want to check Chrome, because I know Chrome has a universal release, but they also have an M1 only release, and you don't get that automatically. You have to go seek it out and download it. So setting up a new machine, that's definitely one you'll want to look for.
It's just specifically on Dropbox, actually. Our friend and colleague Dave Hamilton pointed out there is a way to use Dropbox natively on an M1 machine. It's a third-party application, open source, called Maestral.
Yes.
That's a universal binary which runs natively on Apple Silicon.
Yes. And that was a very cool thing to see, because it's native and also because it's open source. So this gives you an open source Dropbox client. And one of the other nice things about it that Dave pointed out to us is that it does not count against your device limit, because it's not a Dropbox. It's not officially from Dropbox. So Dropbox isn't counting it as one of the places you have Dropbox installed. So if you want to get it on your M1 machine, you can do that. I will have a link to that in the show notes. It's spelled Maestral. And the website is maestral.app. So you can go there and check it out. And that will give you an open source Dropbox client that you may be much happier with than the official one, even when it does come out for Apple Silicon machines.
Yeah. I should say that I use Dropbox nearly continuously and I'm a big fan of the product, but I can see if you have invested in an Apple Silicon machine, this might be an ongoing irritation. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to check it out on my M1 machine and see how I feel about it.
Out of interest. It'd be good. You're both running M1 machines, aren't you? I know you are, Kelly.
Yes, I am. Brian?
I am not running the product.
Okay.
I'm just interested. Can you, as a user, tell to a meaningful degree when something is a native product and when something is not?
It depends what it...
Just because something's not native doesn't mean it doesn't work, as we've said.
Right. It depends on a few different things. There are some things where it's the app is sort of slow and clunky, and I can tell that it's because it's universal, because everything else is so fast, even on my mere mortal M1 as opposed to Pro M1 Pro or M1 Max. Even on my OG Apple Silicon laptop, most everything happens like as fast as I can interact with it. And anytime something is a little draggy, it's usually I go find out, and it's because it's universal, so it's still trying to sort of process things the old way. There's a couple of apps I have that do that, but for the most part, a lot of stuff is still really perky. But anytime I have trouble with anything, it's always a universal app. If it's something that's lagging behind or not responding like I want it to, then that's usually why. It's almost always a universal app. I don't think I've had it happen with anything that's M1 native or strictly Apple Silicon. So Chrome, I think, is the one. I had a universal Chrome version for a while, and that was one of the things that I was like, man, why is Chrome lagging on my brand new computer? And well, because I'm using kind of an old Chrome, an old Chrome installer. So yeah, I got the M1 one, and that perked it right up. So that helps a lot. So I think that's going to do it for us today. If you have questions about Dropbox, or if there was something else about the earnings call that caught your attention that you want to make sure we talk about, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I'd like to thank Brian and Charlotte for coming by to chat with me today. It's been a pleasure as always. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.